Welcome to the NoCillaCast, a high-tech podcast with an ever-so-slight Macintosh slant. As I mentioned in my podcast from the Wall Street Journal Digital Conference a little while ago, Apple has now come out with iTunes 4.9, which provides built-in support for podcast downloads. The main problem this solves is the absolute necessity for download and installation of middleware, sometimes called podcatchers. Some people believe there's still a need for these third-party applications. They feel that there's utilities within them that allows them to customize their experience, and they enjoy that. But personally, I found them difficult to use, and they sort of went stale after a while. They'd stop functioning. I'd give up on one tool, try another one, only to have it go stale too. The last one I was using was called iPodder from the open-source project called Lemon. I tended to call it the Lemon Project, but I'm not sure what it's really called. It seemed to have the most longevity, but it didn't seem to provide any kind of tricky functionality that I didn't feel I could live without. It pretty much caught podcasts, and that's all they're meant to do. With the free download of iTunes 4.9, a new icon shows up on the left-hand side right under the word library, and it's called Podcast. At first, if you click on Podcast, you'll just see an empty screen on the right. But at the bottom, you'll see podcast directory, along with report a concern. I think report a concern actually is a concern straight back to the podcaster. It doesn't go to Apple, you know, any concern with the application. It's more specific to the podcast you've got. So anyway, down at the bottom, you've got podcast directory. If you click on that, it takes you straight into the iTunes music store with the genre already selected to podcast. I'm a little worried that this is the way it does this, since it goes into the iTunes music store, it's going to mislead people into thinking that podcasts are something they have to buy. And as of right now, they're free. Well, but actually, you know, Rush Limbaugh charges $50 a year for his podcast. Well, I shouldn't make fun of him, but you do get a free Rush Limbaugh screensaver with that. And he does have Mac OS X compatibility with his Media Center application for downloading his podcast. So, you know, the guy can't be all bad. So anyway, back to the iTunes 4.9 tour. Once you click on podcast directory and go into the store, the top podcasts are on the right. A bunch of ads are in the middle, and then there's a search field on the left-hand side to find specific podcasts, and a pull-down that allows you to choose different genres of podcasts. So you can go in there and find religion or technology or whatever it is you're looking for. I know there's still a category called beer, and then nobody's set up a podcast for that yet, so there's an opening for someone who's interested. So once you find a podcast you like, you simply select subscribe, and that feed is added to your iTunes library automatically, and the most recent podcast from that feed is downloaded. You do get a little button next to the, it kind of shows you in gray what the other podcasts have been from that same feed, and you can click on download on those as well if you want to, but the first one, the top most recent one, comes in automatically. There's other preferences to mess around with, and I'll let you enjoy on your own, but they do take care of some of the problems I've been having. They have a selection on how long to keep podcasts, so you can say I want to keep it for 2 days or 4 days, but more importantly, they have a feature where it auto-deletes podcasts that you've already listened to. I've been complaining about the problems I've had, that it's a big hassle to get rid of podcasts, because iTunes is really designed for music, so it's designed for stuff you'd want to keep, but, you know, podcasts kind of stack up after a bit, and you don't want to keep, you know, 200 of them laying around. Plus, it gets real confusing from a configuration management perspective, trying to figure out, what did I listen to, what did I not listen to? So that's been a real hassle, so I'm hoping that that functionality works well. I'm sure you're all wondering how to subscribe to a podcast that's not in the directory, for example, the famous NoCillaCast. Luckily, there is a way to do that. Simply click on the podcast again in the left column under library in your main window, and then in the menu bar, at least on the Mac version, there's a button, a pull down under advanced, that allows you to subscribe to a podcast. That opens a field where you can enter the URL for the podcast you seek. Now, I just experimented with asking iTunes to list the NoCillaCast. We'll see whether that actually works or not. They said that you couldn't tell right away whether it works. They were going to decide. Maybe they have a committee decides whether the NoCillaCast is worthy. Another thing I wanted to talk about today is how I actually record the NoCillaCast. An important part of a good podcast is a quality microphone, and I got really lucky on that. A while ago, I broke my hand. Well, that wasn't the lucky part. But anyway, I got IBM's VIAvoice to assist me in typing. It's a voice recognition software that actually worked surprisingly well. I'm a fast typist, and it drove me nuts not being able to type quickly with one hand and a cast. So I was really pleased with the software. But the software came with a microphone, the Andrea Anti-Noise USB headset microphone, if you really care. The model is NC7100. USB mics are far less prone to noise from what I've been told, and this one has a headphone in it so I can hear how I sound. So I've actually got two connectors going on here. I've got one going into the headphone jack and one going into the USB port on my Mac. So I plug these into the G4 PowerBook, and most of the time I remember to change the sound in to the USB microphone in the sound control panel. Those times that I don't remember, I go back and do it afterwards. The tool I use for doing recording is GarageBand from Apple, which is part of the iLife suite. That's, I think it's around $100, something like that, or free if you buy a new Macintosh. Most of the time when I go into GarageBand, I remember to turn off the metronome before I start. But, I shouldn't say most of the time I remember. Most of the time I forget, and then I go back and I turn the microphone off and start recording over again. It's pretty annoying. You'd know if I'd left it on. So after I'm done recording, there's a selection in GarageBand to export into iTunes. Once I'm in iTunes, I usually remember to have it convert the file to MP3. If I forget that little step, the file is about 10 megabytes per minute. So as soon as I start upload it to my website, I figure out my mistake because it's taking 100 years to upload it, and then I have to go back and convert it to MP3. Once I convert it to MP3, it's a lot more reasonable size. I do the last part kind of by hand. I'm sure some tools are evolving as we speak to automate this, but I haven't gotten a handle on any of them yet. The RSS feed, RSS stands for Really Simple Syndication, is kind of a carrier file that tells the podcatcher how to find the MP3s. The RSS file is an XML file, and I don't know anything about XML, but I just copied somebody else's and then stuck my stuff in where it made sense. You have to tell it the name of the file, and you tell it how long it is, which, boy, that really threw me for a loop. I kept trying to figure out how long it was it turns out it's just the file size. I thought it was like, 28 minutes and 32 seconds and 14 nanoseconds, but it's just the size of the file. But you type that in and a couple other things about like what time you uploaded it, and don't think you can skip the time and just put the date. No, you got to tell it exactly what time. Turns out you can lie to it about what time, but you do have to put a time in. So anyway, once I'm finished filling that in and I upload the file, it's ready to go. The next time somebody's podcatcher goes out there and checks my feed, it comes down. So that's all there is to it. Next time I plan on doing a review of the freeware and shareware that I use constantly, explain what kind of problems they solve for me. I'm not going to go through every piece of shareware I load because I do load about two or three a week, but there are some that are just really essential to me, and I thought it might be kind of interesting to go through and describe what those are. This will be definitely a Mac-centric podcast, so consider yourself forewarned. Forewarned. That's it for the NoCillaCast. Kelly and Eric, I miss you daily.